There we go. Yeah, we're on. All right, good. Good to see everybody this morning. And everybody awake, ready to go? All right. Anybody have a blessing to share this morning? Anybody?
Mm-hmm.
No surgery?
No surgery.
Okay. Okay, that's good. That's a blessing. Yes, ma'am. Okay. All right, good. Good. Anybody else? Anybody have anything else they want to share this morning? All right, good. Sure. Anyone else? Anybody else? All right. Beautiful weather outside. A little cooler. No humidity. I don't know how long it's going to be that way, but it's a nice day today. We were able to go to my wife's family yesterday. It's a blessing to be able to see them. They're 4th of July. And they have a family get-together once a year, and it's always around 4th of July. And there's where it's yesterday. We enjoyed that. I left there, though, realizing that at first I got to thinking, you know, everybody's getting a little older. And then I told my wife, I left realizing I'm old. And because we've been, I don't know how many years her family has had that, but it's amazing how we've all grown. We've all had children. Now our children and their children have no longer in school, and many of them actually are married and have their own children now, and just kind of amazing to watch and see how life changes for everybody and the different paths that everybody takes in life. And we enjoyed that yesterday, had a good time there with them. Anybody else? Anybody else have anything you want to share this morning? Something you'd like to share? Anybody? All right, we'll have a word of prayer. Do remember, if you would, Miss Freeman, as she's in the hospital. Pray for, I think she asked that you pray that the doctors for wisdom there, that they can find out maybe some of the problems that she has. Miss Deborah as well, remember her in a word of prayer. Brother Richardson, as he recovers from his procedure. Brother Richardson's daughter's in the hospital. Anybody else have something? Just, I know we'll have prayer requests in a few moments. Brother Bradley will have that this morning. Mm-hmm. Right. Anything else you just want to mention? You'll have an opportunity to do that, I know, again this morning in the service. But anybody else? Okay. What kind of age?
18.
Okay. All right. Remember that. Anybody else? Riley. She was actually there yesterday, and she walks with a, she has a cane, but she does actually get around, I think, well, considering all she's been through. But she does have an upcoming surgery Friday. Isn't it Friday? Thursday. Okay. And I can't even count the how many surgeries she's had. Anybody else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer and pray for these and others and other things maybe on your heart this morning. And let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Brother Bradley, would you mind praying for us this morning, if you would? Just change it up here a little bit. Amen. All right, Jeremiah chapter number 16 this morning. So if you have your Bible, we are in Jeremiah, and we are in chapter number 16. My lesson book tells me we need to cover chapter 16 and chapter 17, and we are going to somewhat do that this morning. I'm actually going to just take a thought from both chapters this morning and maybe discuss just a little bit of something that I see that that actually I don't know that I can say that it bothers me, or maybe we may word it that it's a burden or a concern that we may have, but something that you'll find in both chapters that are very present in our day and age. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit more this morning about young people this morning, and I tell you what, it's a very confusing day to live in, to say the least, for an adult. But, you know, we have to understand, and sometimes it's a little hard for us to put our mind in a thought of what it must be like for young people as well. We all understand the need of the day and the darkness, I guess, of the day and age that we live in. But, you know, young people are growing up in this time. And, you know, there's going to come a day when we're no longer here, and the next generation will follow behind us. And then the generation also behind them. I noticed yesterday at my wife's family reunion, the different groups of people that were there. You have the older group that has, at the same family reunion, children who have children that have children. Is that right? See, you have the grandparent who has a child, that child has a child that has a child. So there's, what, four generations of people there, I guess. And how much has changed in four generations? To be honest with you, it saddens me a little bit. It bothers me. And I realize that I have children that have not had children yet, but not far down the road, they'll probably will marry and have children and so forth. And I'm just kind of, I'm not in that fourth, let's see, we would be in that third generation line because our children has not had children yet. But in one setting, four generations of people there, it's just hard to kind of comprehend the difference that has taken place in those lifetimes. I could take Patty's mom and her brothers and sisters and so forth, the generation they lived in and the day and age they lived in, it's a far cry difference than the day and age that we live in. A lot of people say we progressed, and I don't know that we have progressed. I just don't know if it's been in the right direction. But we're going to talk a little bit about that. So I'm going to kind of change it up a little bit this morning. To be honest with you, I don't really have many notes at all. Just a few thoughts here that we'll take and maybe look at this morning. Jeremiah chapter 16, and before we begin to read here, before we get into verse number 1, you have to realize here, God knows everything. Correct? God has already warned the people because of their sin, because of their lifestyle that they were living, the sinful ways of their lifestyle. Plus, on top of all that, they had turned away from God. And as they turned away from God, as we have discussed many weeks now, they turned to a lot of different idol-type worship. And their worships were different. Their styles were different. Some would worship maybe the trees, and there were some that would worship idols. Some made idols out of wood. Some made idols out of stone. And it was just kind of a day and age where you just kind of did whatever pleased you, whatever your heart desired, as the Bible would describe. That's the direction that they would go in. So their worship was way, way off. Their lifestyle was way off, and that kind of goes hand in hand. If you get way off in your worship of God, you get away from God, you're going to find out your lifestyle is going to get away from God as well. So that kind of goes hand in hand. God is upset with them. God chooses Jeremiah to deliver the message. But they didn't want to hear the message. If you remember, it was Jeremiah that would stand outside the temple, and as they would come into the temple in so-called worship, he would preach the word and the warnings of God unto them, and they turned their hearts against that. And they chose not to believe the message of Jeremiah, even though they believed and put their faith and trust in the false prophets that gave them the message that everything's okay, God loves you, you're good people, what you're doing's okay, your lifestyle's not wrong. And they were preaching a false message unto the people, and the people chose to believe that. And now judgment is coming. And in chapter 16, you'll find that God, as he realizes what is on the horizon, and it's very, very close that the judgment is going to fall upon the people, that God decides or tells Jeremiah that he is not to marry. He is not, you're going to find here that he cannot marry, or God tells Jeremiah that he's not going to marry, which means that he's not going to have children. It also, he told him that he's not able to go to public celebrations. If there was a wedding, Jeremiah was not to go to that wedding. He was not able to also attend public funerals as well. And you say, now that's a little odd that God will choose to put that upon him. Now, I did go back and study a little bit. Many Bible scholars, for whatever that's worth this morning, believe that God chose for Jeremiah not to marry because of all the death that was going to come upon the people. There were many that were going to lose their wives. Wives were going to maybe lose their husbands. There were going to be many children that would lose their lives in the judgment that was to come. And some believe that maybe that was to spare Jeremiah the heartaches of maybe that. Some believe it was symbolic for the people as well. And I'm not going to get off into a lot of that this morning as well, but just kind of keep that in mind. So in chapter 16, we'll just jump into it here real quickly. The Bible says in verse number 1, the word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, all right, so God speaks to Jeremiah and gives him instruction here. All right, verse number 2, thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. So you find here the instruction comes that God commanded that the prophet was not to marry. We also find in verse number 2 that that he wasn't going to be able to have children, wasn't going to have any sons, wasn't going to have any daughters, and that was placed upon him. Now, some people have gone to the extreme and believe that every prophet or every man of God cannot marry and have children. That is not true, right? It was placed upon Jeremiah, but it wasn't placed upon every prophet. So you have to kind of keep that in mind as well. Judgment is coming, and it's going to be a very, 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 very difficult time for the people of God. In fact, you get to verse number 4, it says, they shall die a grievous death. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth, and they shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beast of the earth. You find a description here of what it's going to be like in the land when the judgment comes. There are going to be so many people that die, you're not even going to have time to bury the dead. There's going to be so many dead people lying everywhere that it will become a nuisance. I mean, that even as the Bible describes here, that the birds of the air will feast on the carcasses of the dead bodies. The wild beast will come in and will devour the carcasses that are lying in the land. There are going to be that many dead people. There's not going to be enough graves that will be able to carry or handle all the dead bodies that will be there. There's not going to be time for funerals. There's not going to be time for grieving. There's not going to be time for, as many cases were back then, they had this ritual they would go through when somebody would die. They would have a feast. Food would be brought in to the family, and there would be time spent with the family during their time of mourning, and there would be a time where you would try to comfort that family. Does anybody remember years ago, it hadn't been that long ago, most of the time when a neighbor or a friend or a relative or maybe somebody in the church died, everybody would always bring food. Does everybody remember that? That's still kind of a tradition even to this day. Well, that was even so back then in Jeremiah's day, when somebody would die, that food would be brought in. And most of the time, they would share that meal together. And it would be a time for, if you were going and taking food to someone, it would give you time to maybe sit down and eat a meal with that individual, that family, and try to comfort them and give comforting words unto them. Well, at this time, in the book of Jeremiah, when the judgment comes, there's not going to be any time for that. In fact, there's going to be so many that die, there's no way humanly possible that you can have what they would call, or what we would call today, a funeral as we would know it today. It's going to be a horrible, horrible time for the people of God. So the dead will be so many, as you find in verse number 4. They're not going to have time for bringing of food. You're not going to have any time of mourning. You're not going to have any time of fellowship and encouragement. Services, as you would know it, as far as a time of going through the loss of a loved one, it's not going to be possible. There wouldn't be any time for that. In fact, birds and animals with wild beasts would be feasting on the carcasses, and you wouldn't even have time to bury the dead. You'll find that in verse number 6, it says, both the great and the small shall die in this land. You'll find in verse number 6 that it talks about they shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. And that was another very worldly practice that they had got involved in, on lamenting the dead, and kind of a ritual they'd go through for dead people. It was very satanic, and a lot of different things that they were doing and so forth. But you'll find in verse number 6, it's interesting, it says both the great and small shall die. You know, when the judgment of God is going to come upon the people, there is no respecter of persons. You could be the richest one in town, but it does not spare the judgment upon you. It doesn't matter if you're rich, it doesn't matter if you're small, it doesn't matter. It's the judgment of God is not going to be a respecter of persons, if you would. And so then you have in verse number 7 and 8, and I'm kind of rushing through this because I just want to kind of talk just a little bit this morning, and I'm going to cut it a little bit short this morning. But you'll find in verse number 7 and 8, there's not going to be time to comfort one another. You're not going to have time to go comfort your neighbor because they lost a child, or you're not going to be able to comfort your next door neighbor because her husband died in the judgment or the famine or by the sword. Because you have to realize, not only is there going to be famine in the land, there's also going to be an enemy come in and take them by the sword, if you would, and many would be slain. You're not going to have time to go comfort maybe your relative that just lost their child, or maybe lost their son, or maybe lost their daughter. And you'll find in verse number 7 and 8 here that there's not going to be time for that. You'll find in verse number 11 and in verse number 12 this is very key, and this is kind of where I want to zero in a little bit, and we'll move even to the next chapter. But in verse number 11 it says, then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods and have served them and have worshiped them and have forsaken me and have not kept my law. All right. So verse number 11, it says here, because your fathers or your grandparents, if you would, there was a day when they decided to take a new path. They turned away from God. They started choosing whatever their heart desired. They got away from God. They started worshiping other gods and forsook the true and living God. So that's a major problem. Then you get to verse number 12, and it says, and ye have done worse than your fathers. So it's listing now the next generation that grew up, that would be the children of the ones that forsook God and turned to idol worship and a very sinful lifestyle. Those children grow up. In verse number 12, and it says that they were worse than their fathers, for behold, you walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart here, that they may not hearken unto me. So you find here's the progression, and we understand this morning. You have a generation that turns away from God. Moms and dads decide they don't want to go and serve God anymore. They don't want to serve Jehovah, the true and living God. For some reasons, they decided that they want a different style of worship. That style of worship became further away from God. Then it became out of worship. Then they were even sacrificing their own children in some cases. Some of the more extremist, if you would, had a ritual where they would actually sacrifice their own children. Very, very far away from God. Now, that's bad enough. Now, here's what's real bad. Those moms and dads, of course, have children. And their sons and daughters grow up, and that's the only thing they know in life. They don't know any other life. They've been accustomed to every week worshiping this idol made out of wood. Or this family over here, they have children and their sons and daughters. The only life they know is worshiping this rock structure here that they created. It was so crazy that some of them, if they had an idol made out of wood, if a tree would grow up beside that idol, they thought that that was the offspring of their idol. And they would worship the tree that would grow up beside the idol. And as a child, let's be honest. If that's all you know in life, that's all you know. You don't know any different. You grew up believing this is right because your mom and dad taught you this lifestyle. As we find here in verse number 12, this next generation that grows up here, it says in verse number 12, "And ye have done worse than your father." You see, they took what mom and dad taught them and just went a little further with it. The problem is it's further away from God. But may we understand this morning that that's all they know. So you can see here that we've got a problem here. You got the mothers and the fathers, they forsook God, turned to many different styles of worship that were far away from God. They taught their children to do that as well. Their children grow up, and they're worse than their parents were. But to be honest with you, that's understandable. You know, many times we're a little hard on young people, and in many cases, rightfully so. I'm not saying that they don't deserve it at times, but to be honest with you, a lot of times, young people are the way they are because that's the way mom and dad taught them. They don't know any different. So, well, they ought to know different. Well, maybe they ought to, but they don't. They don't. You'll find, let's go to chapter 17. I'm going to look at a few things here, and then we're just going to talk for just a few moments, and we'll dismiss here in a few minutes. But in verse number 17, verse number 1 is an interesting verse to me. It says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of what?" Pen of what? Iron. Iron is very heavy. And it's not just a coincidence that he puts iron here. And it says here that with a point of a diamond and is graven upon the table of their what? Their heart. All right, what is it that's written in verse number 1 on the table of their heart? Very deeply with a pen made out of iron. The pen is heavy. It inscribes. It would almost, to me, kind of give me the picture, if you would, of something being engraven. You ever remember those little machines that you could buy and it vibrates and you could actually write your name in metal or stone or whatever? To me, it has that application here. It's a pen of iron. It's written on the table of their heart. What's being written? Does anybody know? Verse number 1. Sin. Sin. Listen to me. What was written on the heart of the children was sin. Do you see that? They were taught this by the generation before. So what is happening here is we have a progression that is going very wrong. It started in one generation with a group. They taught the next generation. And now we've got this generation in verse number 1 here where sin, the sin of Judah, is written with a pen of iron, verse number 1, and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their hearts and upon the horns of your altars. So we find here that it's a life, a thought process, a mental thought process that is so engraven, it's like it was chiseled in the hearts of these individuals. You see, the sins was inscribed very deeply upon their hearts. Now, let's be honest this morning. We all understand this morning, life today is not like it was 30, 40, 50 years ago. And we're going to separate here just a little bit away from just life in general. And let's go to worship this morning. Worship as we know it today is not like it was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And I'm going to be honest with you this morning. We are in grave danger when it comes to, and I don't like to use the word religion this morning, but I'll just, maybe we could word it as church or religion, however you want to word it this morning. We are headed off a cliff spiritually in this nation. Let me move on. We'll get to it back here in just a minute. Verse number 2. Their children remembered their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. You know, you ask the child, what do you remember growing up? All they can remember is what their mom and dad taught them. And rightfully so. So if you're going to ask this next generation here in Jeremiah chapter 17, what was church like for you growing up? And they're going to say it was worshiping this idol here. Or it was this image of this, whatever my great-grandfather, whatever, he built this idol here out of wood. And that's all that child's going to know. It may be that one child grows up in a home where they believed in actually sacrificing of their own children to an unknown God. And if you were to ask that child, I mean, what was life like growing up in your house on Sunday? And I'm just kind of, you know, I'm throwing that out there. I know that's the day that we come. But what was life like for you? All they can tell you is what they were accustomed to, what mom and dad taught them, what their church taught them, what their religion taught them. And by the way, there's a lot of different religions in that day. Not everybody worshiped the same thing. If you remember, it got to the point where whatever your heart desired. I mean, if your heart felt like that big tree over that oak tree over there is God, then that's right for you. If you were somebody else and you said, "Well, I don't really believe that big oak tree is God. I believe this rock out here on the ditch is God." That's just perfectly fine. If that's what your heart desired and that's what your heart believed in, the false prophets were telling them, it's right. If you grow up believing and you're taught all your life that that oak tree out there is God or this rock in the ditch out here is God, and you grow up believing that, that's all you're going to know. You'll find And we'll move on here just real quickly. You'll find also that it talks about in verse number 2 about what they remembered and so forth. And what's not listed here, if you would, they have absolutely no knowledge of Jehovah God. None. In fact, if you were to try to talk to them about God, they would have no idea what you're talking about. Because they grow up in a generation of people that knew not God. Now, let's be honest this morning. When you have a generation that grows up that knows not God, you have problems. I honestly believe this morning one of the reasons that we have the problems that we have when it comes to religion is because we have a generation of people that have grown up that knows not God. The children knew nothing of the special relationship that their great-grandparents had that knew God. You have to understand, there was a generation prior to them. You go back generations, go back a few generations, you'll find that there was a generation of people that knew God, walked with God. In fact, God delivered them. God gave them the promised land. Remember, that's all in the past. But somewhere it got a little worse. And then there finally came a generation on the scene that taught their children something totally opposite than that. And those children grow up and those people have children as well, and you get to a generation that has no knowledge whatsoever of what God had done for their great-grandparents in the past. You'll find in verse number 4, it starts to describe a little bit that they would, they don't realize it, but they're going to be taken captive. The enemy is going to come with a sword. And because you're not even prepared, and because I think even the famine weakens them to the point where when the enemy comes in, it is such an easy take for the enemy. Many, many people would die. Bodies lying everywhere in the streets. And you go out one day in the street, and the birds fly up off of a carcass where the birds have been feasting on that carcass and the wild beast. And horrible, horrible day. In fact, you'll find that as you read here, beginning in verse number 4 of chapter 17, they're going to be taken captive, and they're actually going to end up being slaves to the enemy. You'll find that much of, and actually what, chapter 17, there's only 27 verses. Chapter 16, there's 21 verses. So chapter 16 and 17, they're not long chapters here, and I'm not going to take time now because I want to veer off just a little bit here and just talk just for a few moments here about the day and age that we live in. But it all comes down to this. It's very, very simple. There was a generation that loves God and has a special relationship with God. They walk with God. God blesses them. God protects them. God gives them victory after victory. God gives them a special land to live in. I mean, God provides everything for them. And everything's going very, very well. But there's some generation that decides, for whatever reason, we don't want that. And they kind of veer off a little bit, and maybe it's the next generation that decides that I'm going to go down the path of this type of worship here. Maybe it's idol worship. Maybe it's worshiping stones. Maybe it's worshiping an image made out of whatever they wanted to make it out of. And then that generation that's worshiping those idols and false worship and weird worship and some worshiping, even sacrificing their own children, but that generation also has children. And that child grows up living that way, and that's all they know. And it doesn't take but just a few generations where there's a generation that's living on planet Earth that doesn't even have the foggiest idea who God is. And God's going to send judgment, and many will die. Many will suffer greatly. In fact, they're going to go into captivity, and they're going to be there for many, many years. And it makes me think a little bit, and I realize as I was thinking a little bit yesterday at my wife's family reunion, how many generations are there? And I thought this morning about the young generation of today. It's not. And I don't ever want to say there's no hope, but I will say for the younger generation, there's very difficult days coming ahead. I don't know that they realize it. I don't know that they want to. I mean, young people are young people. I say this about teenagers. They don't think about tomorrow. All they live for is today. That's all they know. And I wished I could be a little bit like that. It makes life a little easier when you don't have to think about tomorrow, next week, and all that. You just live today and enjoy today. And there's some good points to that. But as I look to the future, I wonder this morning, you know, what's church going to be like in 10 years? 10. You take your life, whatever your age may be this morning, go back 10 years. And then just in my lifetime in 10 years, a lot's changed in 10 years. What's church? You can take this church right here. What's it going to be like in 20 years? 20. Let's be honest. Some of us are not going to be here. We may not even be living in 20 years. If the Lord tarries, if the Lord doesn't come in 20 years, what's it going to be like in 20 years? You take your life, whatever age you are, go back 20 years. Lots changed in 20 years. I discussed this back a few months ago, and I thought about it again this morning. I gave an illustration back several months ago when Patty and all the kids were gone somewhere one weekend, and I was here, and after church, I went and ate at Captain D's. And I sat there by myself, and I don't know, it's kind of good to eat by yourself sometimes. You just sit there and you just watch everybody else. And as I looked around, there were a couple of three different categories of people there. I could tell real quickly there was an older generation there that knows God. I could tell by just watching them. You could tell they've been to church this morning. They're dressed like they've been to church. Then you have a younger generation, and it looks like they're getting ready to go swimming. They're in shorts and flip-flops, but they've been to church. And then there was another group of people there that I could tell they ain't never been to church. But the problem is this, that older generation that was eating there that day, they're not going to be here much longer. So now it falls to the next generation. Right? Here's the next generation. If I had to tell you what it's going to be like in another 10 or 20 years based on what I can see in a restaurant, church is going to be shorts and flip-flops. It's like we're getting ready to go to the beach or go swimming somewhere. Right? And those people are going to grow up someday and they're going to have children. What's it going to be like in 30 or 40 years? You see, in Jeremiah chapter 16 and 17, the progression was this. There was a generation that loved God, walked with God, God blessed, and they were close to God. There was another generation that got away from God. They had children. That generation grows up, and they get away totally even worshiping God. They have children, and they're even worse. They don't even know who God is. Nobody even shares with them anymore what God had done years prior, providing for them and protecting them and leading them and giving them the promised land and just on and on and on. They don't even know about that anymore. What's the young generation going to grow up and be like? I don't know. Let me throw this in before I forget to give this. You'll read in the book of Jeremiah, you're going to find judgment does come, but there is going to be a small remnant that does make it through. And it's always that way in the Word of God. God always has a remnant of people that make it through. And that's going to happen. So I'm not saying there's no hope. But let's be honest, you take the young generation today. Number one, many of them do not go to church. I'm talking about our day and age. Do you realize there's a lot of young people that are not going to church today? Their mom and dads don't go to church, so their children don't go to church. Are y'all with me this morning? I mean, I'm not being judgmental upon them. I'm just stating the facts. We live in a generation where you've got moms and dads who have children. Moms and dads don't go to church. And when they don't go to church, children don't go to church. I do not know what that percentage is. Maybe somebody can go online and maybe some smart, intelligent person can give you an average of how many people are going to church this morning, how many are not. I think there is some kind of an average on that. I didn't research it this morning. But that number of people that are not going to church, let me shock you this morning. I don't think it will. It's larger than it's ever been. Larger than it has ever been. Now, I could flip it this morning, and I could veer off into a message of encouragement this morning and excitement. Man, what an opportunity for us this morning. You talking about a mission field? I mean, I don't know that we don't live in one of the biggest mission fields on planet Earth this morning. But it's sad that there are many young people that will not go to church this morning somewhere. And then we could dive off into where they go to church. So you're going to have this morning a large number. We don't know what that number is, but there's a large number of young people this morning that are not going to go to church. They don't attend church. They don't go to church. They don't know anything about church. In fact, to be honest with you, here's what's really bad. Church kind of scares them a little bit because they've never been. They don't know anything about it. Our customs may be different, a little weird to anything they've ever been involved in. I mean, they're not involved in anything in life that represents in any kind of manner of what we are as a church this morning. So we have a large number of young people this morning that's not going to church. Number two, we do have a number of young people that do go to church, whatever that number may be, but they're going to go to a church that's very foreign to anything we know. They're going to go to a church that is very, very different than what you were accustomed to and what you grew up with. Are y'all with me this morning? Their music is going to be totally opposite of the kind of music that we're accustomed to. And I'm not being judgmental on them this morning. I could be, but I'm just stating facts this morning. The style of worship, if you want to call that, is totally different than what you're accustomed to. Right? The way they even look when they go to church is totally different than what we're accustomed to. Their style of worship is totally different. Their music is totally different. When it comes to the message, it's very different. I told my wife that one of her cousins was telling me yesterday that he's talking about one of the young people in the family and so forth. It's a girl, and I think he was doing it, and I didn't say anything, but I think he thought I would like it and be kind of glad to hear about it. But this so-called young lady, she's now a full ordained minister. Generation Day don't think anything different about that. I've only been to one service in my lifetime. It was in a Methodist church. When I was a young child, I can still remember going, and it was a woman pastor, and I thought, something bad wrong here. Because I was not accustomed to that. I've never been around that. And when you're not accustomed to something, you're not ever around something, it comes across as something very weird or odd. Do we understand this morning of where we're at with the young generation? Come on, I think we would all agree. You take the average church of today, church is not it's just not the way we've known church to be. Amen. Right or wrong, it's totally different today. And what's sad is there's not very many Bible-believing churches remaining. It's not about preaching, thus saith the Lord, anymore. It's about how can we entertain you to get you back again next week because we need your tithe. Brother Richardson probably could get up here. Somebody's alarm's going off. He could get up here this morning and probably share with you this morning all the publications that come through the mail that's telling him you got to change everything if you're going to reach this generation of young people. Is that Brother George's car? And how are you going to reach the next generation? So let me ask you this. What is church going to be like in 10 years? 20 years? Will this church be in existence? And I understand it. I'm all for it. I think everybody would get up and agree and probably say, we'll still be here in 20 years and so forth. And I don't know. We could ask this morning. I know there's some of you that teach in our Christian school here. You take the student body of this school, I don't think this will shock anybody, but there's a whole bunch of them come to school here that don't even go to church. Would you agree, Brother Bradley? I don't know, but I know some. They don't even go to church. And my wife and I have asked ourselves, I think this every week of our life, why do they come to school here? Do you feel that way? I don't feel that way. I don't think moms and dads care anything about God. And I'm not saying they're evil people. I'm just saying that I think some of them have parents that don't even know really who God is. Why do you think? You ever, Brother Yandel, Brother Brad, y'all have to ask yourselves this sometimes. Why do y'all come to a Christian school? What? What? So they're looking for truth. Sure. Would you not agree there's several come here that don't go to church? Huh? Well, even past that, a lot of them will come to school here that go to a church that's very different than ours. It's a sad day. I don't know, it bothers me. I'm burdened, concerned. We talked about our church. What's it going to be like in 10 or 20 years? What's this school going to be like in 10 or 20 years? And I think our time's out here, and I need to quit. I don't know. When you have that many young people, and we're just basing it on what we see in society, and we can base it maybe on some stats from our school. When you have that many young people that do not know God, and you take students in school here, it won't be long. They're out of school, and they're out living their life on their own. And they're going to grow up. And they're going to probably marry. They're going to have children. And their children's going to grow up. I don't know. It just reminds me here so much of chapter 16 and 17. And it's so obvious that we have this same situation the day and age that we live in. When God is telling a generation of people that they don't even know who God is. And rightfully so. They never were taught about God. All right, you take this. We'll close with this. I'll close my Bible. It doesn't mean a whole lot, but I'll close it, all right? Everybody knows that means he's winding it up. If that many young people are coming to our school that do not really know who God is, and it's not that they're bad, Brother Brad, it's not that they're bad teenagers. There may be what we call some bad apples in the bunch, but you know what? Instead of it, of us realize, we shouldn't think to ourselves that it's their fault as much as it is the generation that taught them. That doesn't mean that they're right, and it doesn't mean that we accept maybe the way they are, but we can understand why they are what they are. But if we've got that many young people that come to our school that do not even, I'm amazed at how many don't even go to church. I mean, if they're not even going to church, I kind of have a hard time believing that they're getting any, that they're being taught anything about God. And then those that do come to school here that goes to a church that's totally opposite of what we are, I don't know what it's going to be like in 10 years, 20 years. I mean, man, I thought in 20 years, I'll be well on to my retirement days. Hopefully. Something to think about this morning. We have to realize and understand that young people are the way they are because they don't know any different. And I get mad at young people. I do. I get frustrated with them. I get, to be honest with you, there's times I get angry with them. I get, man, I want to just grab, I can't say that, I'll go to jail, but you just want to shake them a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You're just thinking, you know, how in the world can you do something like that? And the reason they can do something like that is because that's all they know. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. And God, I pray that you'll help us this morning to realize the mission field that surrounds us in the day and age that we live in, and how many people just need to be told the truth. And God, may we find those that are searching for the truth, that do want help. And God, maybe there's people that come to our school because maybe it's their way of reaching out and asking, I need help. And God, may we help them, may we instruct them, may we teach them, may we give them the truths of your word. And Lord, may we realize the darkness of the day, but God, it doesn't mean that life is over. Lord, may we realize that we have an opportunity. It's an opportunity in a dark day for a bright light to shine, and may we let your light shine in this dark world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.